Okay. Page 190. Thank you. Okay. Lavatzer for the conductor. For the conductor, Al Ayeles HaShachar. Upon the Ayeles HaShachar, Mizmor
LeDavid. Do we know who that conductor was?
Ooh, good question. Good question. Is Dov referring to someone very specific? Was Dov referring to every maestro that will appear in the history, in Jewish history, for all generations? L'chayra L'matzeh refers to all of the conductors. I guess that in the Beis Hamikdash, when the Levim sang Shira, there was a conductor.
Yeah,
there was a maestro. He had a rod, and he would wave his hand up and down, whatever that means. I never could figure that out. Can never figure out what all those hand motions are all about. But obviously, there's a lot of chokhmah. And I used to go every so often with Tzai Shabbos. My sister, she plays in the professional violin. She's a professional violinist, and she plays in a certain orchestra. So every once in a while, they would have a concert in Fordham, in the Pope Auditorium. The Pope Auditorium in Fordham Law School. In the law school. There's an auditorium, and they would have it in the winter, so we would run. The second davening was over, we'd manage to run to get there on time. After it was over, I would go over to the conductor and schmooze with him. And schmooze with him, they love compliments, you know. You gotta smear them. And there's an incredible chokhmah that goes on in being a conductor. Lamatzeh simply means for the conductor. In the Beis Hamikdash, I'm assuming it was the person that they sang the duchen, the levim they sang shir. There was the person that took the lead to guide all of the levim in their singing and in their musical arrangements. So l'chayra is referring to this is the message al ayelas hashachar. We'll see in a few moments what this means. I just wanted you to take note of the makaf. The makaf is a horizontal line that goes in between two words, which usually means that the nigun, the trap, on one word goes on the other word as well. In other words, the word al, in this case, al ayeles, there is no tame hamikra, there is no trap on the word al. And that is why there's a makaf. A makaf means like a stick. And it connects, the word al and the word ayeles is connected to each other. And I guess when you're laying, you don't say there's no trap. When you say the word al, you just say al. And ayeles, there's a mercha under the yud. And that's a very important thing to take note of why is there indeed. Now, you don't really pay much attention to this usually, but over here it's very interesting. Here we'll see why. It's very interesting as to why indeed there is a makaf between these two words. Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Let's just do one pasuk. Keli, Keli, lama azavtani. My God, my God. What does Keli mean? Keli means, it means Hashem. Kel, we say, it's one of the Yud, Gimel, Midas, Racham. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Dechanun. And here it says Kel, but it says not just reference Hashem, my Hashem. Is that what it means? Is that the pshat? Does that mean the word Kel over here means it's Kodesh? Big Nafkamina, when the Sofer writes, Hashem, Hashem, he has an obligation to say the shame. Kedushas Hashem, and if it's not Kodesh, then you don't say L'shem Kedushas Hashem. You know, it's a very big, it's very, very important. Like, for example, in Parashas Noach, Vayikra B'shem Oz Chuchal Likro B'shem Hashem. If a sofer, when he writes Oz Chuchal Likro B'shem Hashem, there's a machlokes between the Targum and Rashi. Is the shed word Oz Chuchal Likro B'shem Hashem? Is that Kodesh, in the name of Hashem, they began to daven, they began to pray to Hashem, or is that when it says, also look at B'Shem Hashem, it's Avodah Zarah. Okay, also look at B'Shem, but what does it say? It says, Yichivav, can't remember, should we go look it up? It's not Chaykes. So it used to be, the Rashi says it's Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
And there's a very big practical difference. In Lainik, years ago, anyone who remembers the old Chumashim, the Hebrew publishing, those blue chumashim, the olden days, remember the shul chumashim? From time immemorial, it was the custom of the Jewish people in Parshas Noach to end the aliyah right there. Oz chuchal likro b'shem Hashem. That's where the aliyah ended. For generations. And all of a sudden, it became a new minuk, chadoshim labakadim, And really, I think it's a lot because of Art School. Art School, for some reason, they took a stand, and it's very interesting why they did this. No, we're not going to end the Aliyah over there. We're going to end the Aliyah earlier, because you're not allowed to stop in a bad place. And since that pasuk, according to Rashi is Avodah Zarah.
From the word
Huchal Lashon Chulin. Okay. Rashi says that it refers to Avodah Zarah, so you're not allowed to end in a section that is something that is not pleasant. Avodah Zarah is connected Kol HaTorah Kula. So therefore they decide, it's not only them, there are other opinions that that's not where the Aliyah should end, and they made it a break. It's fascinating they did that. They did that because it was clearly the minhag all along not to end over there. And it's very clear that it used to be very much in Klal Yisrael, the Iker Perush on Chumash was Targum. Rashi was not even a second. And for example, this is a case in point. This is a great example. When it comes to break up the Aliyos on Shabbos Kodesh, the Aliyos, and you want to make a determination if this is a Dovah Ra, Rashi is not a factor. Rashi is not a factor in deciding if the Pasuk is a Dovah Ra. If the Targum says, Osu Chalikor B'Shem Hashem, means they began to pray to Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, what better could there be? And that's the end. And that's where the Aliyah ends. Today, for some reason, there's a trend in Klal Yisrael, and the trend has been to not give focus to the Targum. It's a shocking thing. A Targum is Misinai. Rashi is a newcomer. He's a newcomer. Rashi is not the
Well, they had the Aliyahs before Rashi was
So who made the Aliyahs, actually? That's a big topic. It's a very, very fascinating topic. No. The Aliyah, who made the Aliyahs where we have them today? This is a very, very fascinating topic. It's not known exactly who broke up the Aliyahs. Clearly, way, way long ago, it was a free-for-all. Going back maybe 1,000 years, even more maybe. When they were two, they were even going further from the time of the Bayi Sheni, they would do a two minhagim. There was a minhag of Eretz Yisrael, they were laid every 3 years. We know there's a lot of Torah on this, but maybe when they will spend some time with this, there was a 3.5 year cycle. Why 3.5 year? Pashut, Shemitah. Why do you check your tefillin twice in 7 years? Because 7 years is Shemitah. 7 years of Shemitah, so you do twice in seven years. Why twice? I'm not sure, but 3.5 years was a cycle. Then there was a cycle, the 1 year cycle, which today has been espoused in the entire world, the 1 year cycle. And it seems you have seven aliyos, and everyone does whatever they want. You go to shul, the gabbai does whatever he wants. At some point in time, like everything else, it became standardized. It became, of course, you can call it sophist. Okay, they're high sophists and they're all different rules, but basically every single Chumash today has the Aliyahs already put in place for you. It's become standardized. Who made this standard? It's not so clear. Some say he was a very simple person. Everything is b'mazel. Hakol b'mazel is a b'mazel Rebbe. A Rebbe of Tinoikos Shel Beis Rabbah. And obviously it was accepted in the whole Klal Yisrael, obviously. And obviously, it was done based upon the Targum. Today, for some reason, people, the Targum is not good enough, and they look at Rashi, and if Rashi says that it's not a good place to stop, so we don't stop there. They change the minhag, which is a shocking thing. It really is a shocking thing to, once something has been established as a minhag in Yisrael, to change the minhag, and it's not because the minhag is a mistake. You cannot say it's a mistake because the Targum explicitly says this is tefillah. This is a place to pray to Hashem. It's a beautiful thing. Rashi is the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael HaGoyla. There's not a moment during the day when someone in Klal Yisrael is not studying the words of Rashi. But Rashi, you know, it's a change. And for some reason, they made a very bold decision. And that decision, every shul cannot. This cannot. Not a shul today that doesn't have an art scroll the blue chumashim, and they've changed. All right. Any event, why are we going off on that topic? Because the word keli lama azavtani, keli How do we ask that? I told you, what are the nafkaminas? When a sofer writes a sefer Torah, before he writes Hashem's name, he must say l'shem kiddushas Hashem. If he does not say l'shem kiddushas Hashem, and he writes down on the page yudke vavke, the sefer Torah is posel, and you would never know it. You can be reading from the sefer Torah for 100 years, and it's a sefer Torah posel. A sofer must say l'shem kiddushas Hashem, and he must go to mikvah. If he's not clean, and I believe it's not even kosher. It's possible he must go to the mikvah before he writes Hashem's name. They used to leave out all the names of Hashem, right? The whole set would leave out, and then they would go to the mikvah and do all the shemos in one shot. Only by sefer, you can do by tefillin and mezuzah, because there must be in order. In any event, so therefore, when the sefer comes to al sukhalik of Hashem, Hashem, what does he do? Does he say l'shem kiddushas Hashem? Because Unkelet says it's Kodesh. Or does he do like Rashi? It's Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah Zarah. So therefore, you don't have to go to mikvah, and you don't have to do the shame, a very big nafkamina. What is the behavior of a sofer? So these sofers, they're supposed to know this stuff. They're supposed to know what to do. It's very, to be a sofer, you gotta know your stuff. Very, 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 very important. When you buy a sefer Torah, you buy anything, Sam, you only should buy it from a person who's a Yorei Shamayim, to know what to do. So here as well, it says over here, Keli, Keli, Lama Azatani. Is this Kodesh or is this not Kodesh? Okay, is the word Keli, is the word over here?
There's one more thing that they did, Astro.
What?
You're talking about the change that they did a new minute. When you say Bo Tzion, but after Kodesh, 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 Hashem Noach is always highlighted.
Baruch Kivayit.
But they also highlighted
Hashem
it what? In right. Motzei Shabbos on the Azeh Kodesh.
Ah, so
and it should not, the Reish Yosef says Beferish, it's not.
Rabbi said, this is one of Meir's pet peeves.
Right.
And Meir, no, we're going to talk, we're going to have to Kodesh right now.
Right.
We're going to have it right now. We have to Kodesh, Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, you know, this is
Mark. So this is highlighted here?
This is where it comes from. The Atar Kadosh.
Right,
so Rav Meir is saying that the Mitzvah Shabbos, there is absolutely no need for the Shliach Tzibur to lead Amar Hashem Mi'atav V'Ad Olam. Then the Atar Kadosh Yosheiv Tilois Yisrael V'Karaz Velsev Yivar Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. You don't do that Mitzvah Shabbos. You only do that during the week by Shachas Kedusha B'Sidra. Mitzvah Shabbos, you just say it. There's no need for the Shaliach Tzibur to lead. Vatisa eni ruach v'eshma acharai kol rash gadol.
We seem to all do it.
So it seems that we all do it, right? We do all do it. So Rav Meir, Meir's right. I actually came across this. I don't remember. We were the one that saw this.
Beis Yosef
says it?
Beis Yosef
says it.
Now the question is, when did it start? Do you recall saying it as a kid?
I have no recollection.
Yeah, I didn't even say the bullet to you.
I don't even remember what happened last Mitzvah Shabbos. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. Okay? So Meir is a where did it come about this meaning that Mitzvah Shabbos, the Shliach Tzibur leads the same way he leads during the week. Asher Volatzion of Kiddusha the Sidra. I don't know, but you basically says the Pharisee, and what's the reason why not? And Meir is upset. It's bad enough people do this, but why did Art Scroll have to nail it in by putting the words Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in bold and putting that little symbol which indicates this is where the Shliach Tzibur should lead to lead the Tzibur. Why did they take it upon themselves? Did they do that by design? Did they have a source? They made a lot of. They did a lot of very.
That should be not the only thing that they did. They did
a lot of things. One day,
people always said in the old Tikkun Meir Siddur, everyone said. I remember everybody said Masha Baruch Omarid HaGoshem, Goshem, Goshem, Goshem. Nobody said
Geshem.
Slowly, now all of a sudden, everyone's saying Geshem, Geshem, Geshem.
Not everyone. Okay.
A lot of people.
So okay,
anyway,
fine, okay.
No, I'm saying the Art Scroll also put that.
Anyway, I thought my
by Golkeinu Velokeinu Seinu.
Yeah, the comma, where's the comma? Right, where's the comma, the gra, where's the comma, Mishuleshes? I know my father's on the bracha. He was also very disturbed when the article said Mashi Rohamor and Geshem. My father had a relationship with Meir Zlatowitz
on the bracha. Everybody objected.
And my father asked him, why did you do this? My father asked him, why did you put Geshem? Geshem. So Meir Zlatowitz told my father. He told my especially Meir Zlatowitz was the Talmud Muvuk of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was really, that was his Rebbe, very, very close to Rav Moshe. He didn't budge without Rav Moshe. And he said to my father, I honestly did not know that Rav Moshe held was makbid, that it should be goshen. I honestly did not know. Had I known, I never ever would have done this.
Well,
and now already, he says it already was printed. It's too late. Truth is, all the new sidurim they have on the bottom. They have a star.
The
new ones. They don't change. They didn't change. They just put on the bottom. And in the interlinear, very strange. I think they actually put on top in the interlinear itself. They put both. It's a little bit strange, I think. But whatever. Okay, let's go further. Let's over here. Keili keili lama azavtani. Is this a shame kodesh or is this? It means my power. We'll see other interpretations. Right now, we're going because you don't really find this usage of saying Hashem's name Kel, and converting it Kel into Keli. That's not very common. If when Yud Gimel Yisrachmi, it's Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun. You don't find taking Hashem's name and personalizing it. Hashem's name is Kodesh in its own right, and when you say Hashem's name, if you want to personalize it, you personalize it with the words that surround Hashem's name. You'll have a lead up. You'll have an expression, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem. You will surround Hashem's name with other words which make it clear that you're personalizing your prayer. But to take Hashem's name itself and to mold it to your liking, Keli Keli. That's not Hashem's name. Hashem's name is Kel. In the Yud Gimel Midas Harachim, where Hashem's name is presented, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun. That's the way Hashem's name is. Now, the word Kel obviously is not only a holy word. The word Kel also literally means power. Power, might. Kel is might.
Elohim is also Hashem, Hashem.
Oh.
And we say Elokeinu.
Okay. You're saying very good. You're saying Elokeinu. Okay. But that. All right. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Okay. But so we'll take note. We commonly, everyone, you say the word Keli Keli. Everyone will tell you means Hashem. My Hashem. My Hashem. Lomo azavtani. Why did you abandon me? Rochoik. You distance yourself from Yeshua. See, it is distant. Yeshua. See, from yourself. My salvation, divrei the words shagosi of my cry, my roar. And what does this mean? We're going to go now and discuss in great detail now. But basically, when I read this, I only think of one thing. The Medrash, many years ago, we learned Medrash is Esther Hamalka when she went into the Melech for the very first time. When she went in, not she was already married, but Mordechai told her that this happened actually on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There was the goyrel was made, and Haman finalized the final solution. That was in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and right away he sent out the letters. He made it known, and Mordechai found out. Mordechai knew about this, it seems, before Esther knew about it. Mordechai knew what happened, and Mordechai immediately told Esther, "You better do something." And Esther said, "Not so fast." And Mordechai sent back to her, "Not so fast." So Esther says, "Okay, fine. I'm gonna do something." And she right away went. And this took place. I don't remember the exact dates, but this whole thing took place very quickly. The whole story took only 5 days. The whole poem story was 5 days. It was Ishra, and she went in to go ask Achashverosh to come to a party. And then she asked him at the party to come to another party. So when she went in to come to the first party, So she was hesitant to go to the forest because she said to Mordechai, it's been more than 30 days, the king has not seen me. He doesn't like me anymore, he's bored of me. He doesn't want to see me anymore. And if the rule is, if you go into the palace uninvited, you're executed unless the melech extends his scepter. And there's no exception to this rule. Even me, the queen, if I enter into the palace, into his chamber uninvited, I will be executed. And I'm afraid to go. So Mordechai says, well, if you don't go, then Hashem has other people that will go. So she went, and when she went into the room, as she was about to enter into the room, she fasted for three days, and she felt that she brought upon herself the Ruach HaKodesh, whatever that means. She brought upon herself the divine presence. And then as she is about to enter the room, she sensed that the Shekhinah disappeared. We'll read the Medrash in a few moments. Completely disappeared. Hashem departed. And she was extremely depressed. She was disappointed here after a 3-day fast, after preparing myself for this moment, the Shekhinah leaves. It disappears. How could this happen? So she cried out this moment, Kaylee, Kaylee, my God, Lama Azaftani, how can you abandon me at this moment? Rachok Mishuasi Divrei Shagasi, which we have to really define better, more precision. There's no chance. My Shagasi, my cry to you, my cry, it appears to be in vain. It appears to me that it's going to go unanswered. I will be unsuccessful. You do not appear to be willing to come to my assistance. The words of my prayer will have any effect in my mission in going to Achashverosh, because the Shekhinah has departed. That is the most popular pshat. Now we're going to go see all this right now inside. Now first we have to understand the big topic here is, what is an ayeles hashachar? What do these two words mean? So the one that really says everything in one shot is the radak, but I want to save the radak for last. The radak summarizes all of the interpretations, but let's do it little piece by piece. Let's look first at Rashi, and then some of the other mufarshim, and then the radak, he really conquers all. But Rashi first says, let's look at the mitzudos. The mitzudos says, what is ayeles hashachar? Very simple. This is mamish the style of the Radak. Other than Mitzudos, the Mitzudos is always going to give you the most basic shot. What does it mean? Ayeles Hashachar, Shein Kli. It's the name of a Kli Zemer, Yadua Hoya Etzlam. Page 190, Pasuk Aleph, in the Mitzudos Tzion. The Mitzudos Tzion. Ayeles Hashachar, on the left side, Shein Kli Zemer, Yadua Oz Etzlam. It is the name of a musical instrument. Nothing more than that. We have today, we have all the different types of instruments, the percussion instruments, the wind instruments, the string instruments, all the different types of musical instruments. It's not telling us exactly which one it is, which variety, which
none of the above.
What? None of them, maybe it's a drum. You're right, none of them,
something
maybe
that
it's
only existed at that
time. We have no idea what this is. No idea. I know you take out some of these books. They have all these. They show you, try to take pictures of musical instruments in the time of the Levine. You wish. You really. No one really knows.
The music museum.
Yeah, they really know. Listen, we know they are musical instruments. You want to go put names on musical instruments? Not so simple to go put names. We know it. Okay, whatever it is. Maybe they do know. Listen, who says? Maybe people really do know what these things are. You have to be really have an appreciation for this discipline. Shame. So this is what it says over here in the Mitzudos Tzion. Look what it says in the Malbim. The Malbim in the Be'ur Hamilois. He says, Ayeles Shame La Koichav Haboike. The morning star. It's the name of a star in the morning. What does that mean, the star in the morning? I'm not into astrology. I don't know what this means over here exactly. But obviously, when the morning, when the sun rises, before, is it the morning star, or is it something else? I have no idea. Whatever it is, it's the name of La Chayfava. So what does it mean? So Kaylee, Kaylee, Alayelis Ashacha.
look at the Targum, it's interesting. So we have the Koban of Tamid Shel HaBok.
Mashe Vatani Rachik. Here I'm sorry. Lishabocha al tikoif kuban. Okay, so what is the? Look at the targum. Look at the targum. The targum of Kalman is directing us to the targum. Lanatzeach. Lishabocha. Lishabocha means to give. He's like I told you, means the conductor. That's also subject to big discussion. Lanatzeach means lishabocha. It's a psalm. Psalm. The Targum learns a lamnatzeach does not mean the conductor, like I always like to say. It means it's a song. Lamnatzeach. This is an expression of praise. The following words that we are going to read is an expression lishabocha. Now here goes al. Now what does it mean? The ayelis. Now ayelis. You know, maybe I want to say the Targum for give it a moment. Let me come back to Targum in a second. I want to show you something else, which we'll come back to Targum in one moment. Okay, let's hold Targum. Just hold it there for one moment. Let's look at I want to show you where it says. Let's look at Rashi first, and then we'll come back to the Targum because Rashi really mentions the Targum. Ayelis Ashachar. I mean Rashi. Shem Kli Shir. Okay, that's this first shot. That's what it said in the Mitzudos. Dover acher al kineses Yisrael shehi ayeles ahovim. It's an animal, an ayol. An ayol is a beloved, is a beloved creature. It's like a, it's something I guess similar to a deer. Katzvi v'cho ayol. It's a chaya. Though let's not confuse an ayil and an ayol. There's an ayol and an ayil. They're two different species. One is a domesticated animal. That's the ayil. Vayisav v'hinei ayil ayil achart nechaz b'svach b'karnav. Ayil. Ayil is an adult ram. A male goat. Right? A male adult goat.
The first two here is a
over
3 years.
Like a
beloved deer.
Oh, a deer.
It's especially devoted to its mate.
Exactly. And ayol is a chaya. It is a wild animal. You never ever bring in ayol as a korban. It's a wild animal. It comes in the male version and the female version. It comes two varieties. Okay, there's the male and the female. There's the ayol and the ayeles. The ayelis is the female, and there's a lot of very fascinating midrashim about this type of animal. And we mention it about blood. We mention the person wants to eat besar taiva. The person is not, when the Torah talks of a person, you come to you'll build the Beis HaMikdash, and you ordinarily it's ideal if a person wants to eat meat, you should only eat meat of a korban. Person has a need to eat basar. The ideal thing is bring a korban shalomim, and the meat of the korban shalomim you eat in Yerushalayim. The restaurants of Yerushalayim, there was meat of korbanos shalomim, a korban holy meat. But let's say ki yirchak v'mcho hamokim. Let's say you live very far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and you can't go every night for dinner to the Beis HaMikdash.
Could they sell it?
Yeah, could they sell? I'm not sure. I think they could. I think they actually could. Anyone can eat. I mean, l'chatil, the owner of the animal, but the owner is allowed to invite anyone he wants. Could he charge money for it? Possibly he could. I don't know the answer.
Is it kachim kalim?
It's kachim kalim. The people who eat must be tar. The people who eat
so
this, and only in
Yerushalayim.
What?
Toivas
hanah could be there is. I don't know the answer. Bahavlah. You can do behavlo like shmita, like shvius. You have a restaurant. I don't know the answer. But anyway, it has to be in Yerushalayim. Then what's the person who's far away from Yerushalayim? And you want to
bring the
shlamin
if he's far away. How can
you
bring it?
Exactly. It's exactly what the pasuk says. Exactly. So the pasuk says, let's say ki yirchachim l'makom, you can't go every night to Yerushalayim. Gridlock. You can't travel every night to Yerushalayim to go eat besar kachim. So what do you do? So it's okay. Vizavachta. I'm giving you permission to eat meat of chulin. It's an incredible chiddush. The Torah v'zavachta. V'zavachta, I forgot the whole pasuk, but the pasuk you can eat, you can have regular, and you can eat, but don't drink its blood. That's the sixth parasha. The sixth parasha is da'dam. Be careful. Even though I'm allowing you to eat basar chulin, don't drink its blood or kasher it, and you can eat it just like a tzvi and an ayol. And I don't remember all the details, but the pasuk there says that just like I'm allowing you to eat meat of a chaya, of a wild animal, which of course has to be kosher. Okay, it has to have, you know, split hooves and malaskera. It has to be, but the pasuk compares eating a behema of chulin to eating a chaya, a wild animal of chulin. And what is the example the Torah gives of a wild animal that's chulin? A tzvi, which we call a deer, which I'm not so sure that everyone agrees that's what a tzvi is, but we call it a deer, and an ayol, which they translate commonly a hind. Yes. And it's not so sure that's really what it is. Whatever it is. It's in this variety.
Well, the hind, I think, is the female, right?
Whatever it is. There's a tzvi and ayol. An ayol, a tzvi and ayol. That is what we are discussing over here, the ayeles hashachar. Why are we focusing on this? So there are very beautiful midrashim that talk about this. And one of the midrashim really fits, doesn't say on the page, but it really fits here very well. And that says, from all of the wild animals in the world, which one is the shaliach tzibur? Which one davens musaf on Yom Kippur and the ilah? Who's the shliach tzibur for all of the chayas? In other words, there are times in the world, this is what the Medrash says, when there's an esara, there's a drought, or there's some type of natural disaster, and the animals are terrified. So what do? Shiram alois. They go to shul to say Tehillim. And they go, there's this, we don't know their language, we don't know what goes through their minds, the animals. And they go, and they recognize there is a creator, and they're mispalim. Who do they select to be the shliach tzibur for the animals? In the animal kingdom, the ayol. Ayol has the koyach of tefillah. That's what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash says that the ayol is the shliach tzibur of all of the chayos in an eis tzar. And it specifically refers to when there's a drought. When there's a drought and there is basically a starvation, dehydration, they all come to the ayol and they all surround the ayol, and the ayol it takes its horn and it thrusts its horn into the ground. This is the ayol, right? In Echanami, it's also the shofar is an ayil, not an ayol. It's interesting because obviously there's a relationship, obviously, but it takes its horn. And it thrusts its horn into the ground as an expression of tzar to Hashem to do something, to save us. And then miraculously Hashem brings about that the clouds form and it rains. So the ayol is a dogma in this world that the people understand what it means to pray to Hashem. Chazal said, if Torah was not given, you would learn many different concepts from the world. Tznius. You will learn tznius from the cat. You will learn about hard labor, amelus, from the ant. From the ant. You learn every creature has what to offer. What does the ayol teach mankind? The koyach
of... To be quiet and not to say anything.
Not to say?
It's a quiet animal.
It's a quiet animal? Okay, but the Medrash says here that the ayol is the koyach of tefillah. And once you learn that, and you look at this mizmar is from all the mizmarim in Tehillim, it's on the short list of being the most passionate, the most desperate. It's a very powerful mizmar, an expression of utter desperation. Now, sometimes you go to shul, no emergency, you know, take your time. And sometimes when you go and make a request, the request is made in a panic, in an expression, a state of desperation. This mizmar is that desperation. Keili, keili, lama azavtani. How dare you, Hashem? How can you abandon me at this moment in time? It's, and who's saying this? Who do we identify? The Ayol. The Ayol, and here, not the Ayol, here it's the Ayelet, it's the female version, which is our practical purpose, the same thing. So the very fact that we mention over here the Ayol in reference to a mizmar of utter desperation, Rashi doesn't say what I'm saying. Rashi is alluding to this to a degree. Rashi has a different approach to this because it says that we'll explain. But that alone is something which to a degree, this is really a drush, is what this means. We're over here. We it's a lamatzeach. We have over here some type of a psalm, however you want to title it, lamatzeach al ayeles hashachar mizmar leDavid. Aliyah means the emotion is an emotion of what we can of an ayol. An ayol, someone who, just like an ayol is a shliach tzibur, we identify with the ayol, especially when you want to learn that this mizmah refers to Esther Hamalka, and she now is coming before Ahasuerus to beg him in a state of desperation to save the Jews. Because of the gzera lahashmi laharigul abed, we convert the ayol, the male version, into the female version. Esther is now stepping into the role, into the mold of the ayol. The shaliach, she is now serving as the shaliach tzibur for Klal Yisrael. And especially when you want to go be more homiletic, in every time it says in the Megillah, hamelech, it really alludes to the Melech Malchei HaMelochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayhi b'yom ha'shlishi v'tilbash Esther Malchus, and she enters into the palace. She's going lifnei the Melech Malchei HaMelochim to beg desperation, keli keli lama zavtani. Just like in the world when there's a drought, there's a moment of sakana, the ayol is the shliach tzibur for the whole world. So Esther here is entering into the mold of the ayol. It's in the feminine form, because here it's Esther. It's not a male. It's a female. That's ayelis.
So what is David composed it, and she knew it.
Ruach HaKodesh.
Ruach HaKodesh.
So that's a very common thing. We mean David lived long before. How many years? 2,500 years. No. What am I saying? David, by the bias creation was 410 years, and David was about 40 years, about 40 years before. That's 450 years. So, and then in another 50 years, it's 500 years. So this was composed approximately 500 years before Esther Hamalk. So, what are you talking about? David said this. And Esther, you tell him it's all about Esther? Yeah. That's part of Emunah. This is prophecy. This is Nevuah. This is Nevuah. David HaMelech is composed. It's obviously.
So David HaMelech was Masadar in this order. The Rabbanim or the Knesset had nothing to do with it later?
Definitely not.
So he came out with this version.
This, what, the Mizmar?
No, in this order also. The Aleph.
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. If David, who was the one that made the final version? I don't know. Did David actually was this compilation of all of these mizmarim?
Let's assume David took in Moshe and Adam. And
first of all, did David first? I don't know who was the one that compiled that put in print the final version of Tilim. I don't know the answer, and I don't know what year. Maybe you're right. Maybe look, it's the same
that
way.
Be early because the Gemara says that capital days Gimel was one.
That's all part of the question. At what point did it become the way it is? I don't know the answer to it. I don't even know anyone who has a clear mahalik of when exactly it was finalized.
When did they put the truck on it?
Good question. It's a very good question. At what point in time did the Tani HaMikra come here? Who made, and also the symbols? All tough questions. I don't know the answer, and honestly, I don't know if anyone has a clear answer to these questions. A lot has been lost from us, the history of a lot of these things. But different opinions.
Kalman has the answer. It was done before Ashura.
Definitely. That's easy, right? Okay. But we don't know. Okay, now, so this is, now let's see what Rashi says. I went off on the tangent to tell you a drush. But Rashi says his name of a creature, an ayol, and ahavim. Now this is another quality, another personality trait of this. This is like, you know, a love couple. I don't know what the right words are. It's from all of the animals in the world, the most romantic of all the animals is the Mr. Ayol and Mrs. Ayol. Okay? They represent romance amongst all of the animal kingdom. Mr. Ayol and Mrs. Ayol. And that is why we laid only a few days ago on Shavuos, Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo.
On Pesach.
What I said, Shavuos on Pesach. Shir HaShirim. We laid Shir HaShirim. What did it say there? Ayelet Rashi quotes the pasuk over here. Rashi quotes we mentioned there in the description describing the love of a chosin to the kala, male and female. It is compared to an ayol, to the ayol and the ayolah and the ayolah. Okay, and the ayelas, I guess, is another way to say the ayol, the female version of the ayol. There is some degree of love amongst these creatures, amongst this that is pronounced, is more than all other animals. And therefore, when we wanted to talk about chiba, the love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, so in Shir HaShirim, this is a dogma. This is a dogma. And here as well, the fact that it begins with Ayelas HaShachar, it is expressing a chiba yisera between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Now, what is there in this mizmor that shows? So we have to understand what the chiba is. But if you want to learn that this entire mizmor is referring to the miracle of Purim, then that gives you a grasp on what the chiba, because Purim was a time of incredible chiba. Okay, if Chazal say that when Mashiach will come, all of the other Mo'adim are bottle, whatever that means, but Purim will never be bottle, obviously the miracle of Purim is an expression of extreme love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's very appropriate. If we want to go describe an event, we're going to go through the Pesukim, are going to present the story of Purim, highlight different events of Keli, go through the whole Mizmar of Purim, then the introduction is the Ayala Sashachar, the Ayala, because the Ayala, among all of the animal kingdom, it is the creature which we find a intense degree of chiba between Mr. and Mrs. Ayol. So that's what it's over here in the beginning over here. It's called the Ayeles Ahavim of Mishlei, the beloved.
Did you do Anish before commercial?
No, I did not. I didn't get that far yet in Rashi. First, he's just telling us what is the Ayala. Ayeles Ahavim. Ahavim means beloved, love. The Ayeles, Mrs. Ayeles, who is beloved by her husband.
There's a Reth and Sar, I think.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that's more of a graphic description. And we don't have to go. This is Rashi.
Usually it's Ayala.
Right. Ah, from the south. Independent of being ayol, an ayolah. But the fact that it's samuch, smichus changes the hay to a tough. So ayeles ahavim. So Rashi has two commentaries: what Rashi writes and what Rashi does not write. So there's a we'll read the Midrash in a few moments, as Rav Mordechai says. As what is beloved, so there's a more of a graphic description of what is the love, but Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi just says that there is a chiba, there's a love between the ayol and the ayolah, the ayeles ahavim, and he quotes now Shir HaShirim, Hanishkofo kimo shochar, she gazes kimo shochar. Now, no, what does that mean over there? Now, this is already getting a little confusing. I really should have analyzed this a little bit better. What? Kamo shachar. Now shachar is the morning, right? We think it means the morning. Not necessarily. The word shachar can have many meanings. It looks out. It looks kamo shachar. let's assume now it means the Ayola.
Maybe like day break, sun, it has a beauty. Sunrise is a beautiful thing.
Right, right. Like, let's yeah. learn, let's for the moment assume that's what it means. Sunrise is something that is very.
It looks forward. Beautiful.
Okay, that's the same thing. You're saying it looks forward. You're saying
that's
it looks forward.
It.
The morning is a time of renewal, of going forward. So the
night is the dark. Golas is the dark night.
Darkness.
Of Golas, and dawn is the geula.
And the geula gives you a new hope for the future. So what is he doing here in Rashi? He's just telling you the word shachar in our pasuk is the nida of the ayola. How do you know this? Because in Shir HaShirim, where Klal Yisrael is compared to the ayola, and in that pasukim it says hanishkafa the ayola, it gazes out into the future kimoy shachar, the same way when the sun rises and the sun gives optimism. It gives you optimism, and it's aiming, it's going forward into the new day. That is the nida of the ayola. So just like in Shir HaShirim, the word shachar is associated with the ayola. That is why here in Tehillim, when we say the ayeles, we also connect it to the word hashach. The shachar is a nida of the ayola. The ayola is a creature that's optimistic. It looks forward to a new future. And we know that from Shir HaShirim. We know that the word ayeles is a beloved creature from Mishlei, because in Mishlei it's called the ayeles ahovim. And the truth is, we really know that from Shir HaShirim as well, because Klal Yisrael is described as the ayola in this love poem. And in Shir HaShirim, we also associate the word shachar with the ayala, which means we'll soon know that it looks forward, it's optimistic,
has hope. Burst forth like the sun rising.
Or it's a beautiful bursting, a beautiful creature that bursts forth like the sun rising in Hanami.
Yeah, when you go to shul in the morning and you say, nobody's in the street. I go to Shabbat, for instance. And we go to shul, the light starts, and we go to shul. We are ayelet shachar. We go to daven shacharim, and it's tefillat shachar.
Okay, so you're saying you're saying something different. You're saying is that we go to daven in the morning.
It's beautiful.
Okay, that's not the way it's used in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is shachar. So that's why we're calling the word shachar. The ayelas, this creature of a shachar. Fine. That is already two pelushim. So far we've read the Rashi. We've learned two things. Perush number one was it's a musical instrument. Number two, it refers to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the ayeles ahovim. Klal Yisrael is the ayola of a shachar. We're referring to Klal Yisrael. Rabbeinu Dirashu beEsther. Okay, now that's not really a contradiction. Just saying that the Chazal understand this and bring to Esther, and Esther is she's given this description of being the ayeles hashachar. She is the ayeles hashachar. So either refers to a musical instrument, or refers to Knesset Yisrael, is the beloved Isha of Hashem. And in Shir HaShirim, Hashem is the Chosan, and Klal Yisrael is the Kala. And Klal Yisrael is called in Shir HaShirim the Ayeles HaShachar. So that means that the subject of this mizmor is Klal Yisrael. And the third interpretation is Esther HaMalka. Esther HaMalka is the Ayeles HaShachar. Okay, so three interpretations as to who is. Will the real Ayeles HaShachar please stand up? Is the Ayeles HaShachar a musical instrument? Is the Ayeles HaShachar Klal Yisrael, like in Shir HaShirim and in Mishlei? Or is the Ayeles HaShachar Esther HaMalka?
Or all of the above.
All of the above, of course, all of the above. Or Menachem Pasar, Ayeles, new interpretation. This I think who said this? Someone over here said this. I've got to say this here. Ayeles L'shoin Mo'oz, strength. Ayol, Yesh. Yesh, it's in other words, it's a play on the word. This is what Rav Kalman likes to do. Keli, why is it Keli? Aleph Lamed Yud, because it's the same letters as Ayol. It's a poetic play on the word. Ayol, Aleph, Yud, Lamed, play with the letters, and that turns into Keli. Why didn't she say, why did it say Kel Kel? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Kel. We want to play with the words. Ayeles, it means power, might. There's physical might, and there's Hashem, who is the most mighty. So he says of Lashon of Moos, and this is a very beautiful pasuk. This pasuk is used in the Piyutim. It's used often, this expression. Kmo Eyolusi leEzrasi Chusha. Quickly, hasten. Eyolusi means my power to my assistance, come quickly. We beg Hashem, please hasten the Geula. Chusha means swift. LeEzrasi means help. And Eyolusi, this my power, my might. Who is my might? Hashem. Yesh le'el yodi. There is power in my hands. Hashem is called the Almighty. Why is Hashem called the Almighty? Because Hashem is called Kel. Aleph Lamed means power. And Hashem is the power with a capital P, which makes Hashem into the Almighty. Or mighty with a capital M. What?
The Ayol goes very swiftly also.
That's a different pshat. That we're not saying over here. We're saying chush. Okay. Chush. Okay, I hear you saying, Mordechai is saying something very important. It's true. Taka true. You're right, because who does it say that about?
No,
it says that about Naphtali. Naphtali is Ayolo Shulucha. Ayolo Shulucha. Why? Speedy Gurda. What's his name? Speedy
Gonzalez.
Speedy Gonzalez. So when they came to bury Yaakov Avinu, Esav showed up, and Esav says, "Over my dead body, over my dead body,
no problem.
Will you bury Yaakov in my grave?" That's right, over your dead body. And what happened? Chushim, which means swift. Is that interesting? It means swift. Chushim then done. But what happened in the meantime? So they said to Naphtali, they said, we have the deed. What deed? We have a deed. What? Show me the deed that you sold the Bechira. Show me the deed that you sold the Bechira to Yaakov. I never sold. He's a liar. That's to me the misinformation. You're a liar.
That's not this or this?
Whatever. Disinformation. He said, so you're a liar. I never sold the Bechira to Yaakov Avinu. I never sold the Bechor. I'm the Bechor.
Yes,
and therefore, this is my grave. How dare you go bury Yaakov in my grave? I'm the Bechor. Excuse me, Esau. You sold the firstborn right for a pot of beans. No, I didn't. No such thing. Lo hayu dvarim
eilam.
So what did he do? So they sent Naphtali. Naphtali, he was a gold medalist in the Olympics. Sprinter. Okay, he was this, and what is he called? Ayala Shalucha.
A long distance runner.
He was a long distance runner. I'm sorry, a long distance runner. They sent him on a mission. Quickly, run. Run back to Egypt and get the deed. So as he went, he ran. So he's called the Ayala Shalucha. Mordechai said he's swift. And in the meantime, Chushim Benon was deaf and didn't know what was going on. What's my high? He said there's a delay here. He doesn't want to let us. So he just took out, he killed him. He was the Kayim over my dead body. Okay, so in the Chanami, Eyolusi
Liazrasi Chusha. And his eyes popped out when it's
we say this. I think this is the most beautiful expression on Tisha B'Av. From all the kingdoms, this somehow captures my heart. On Tisha B'Av, Eyolusi Liazrasi Tarti Chazois. Tarti Chazois. Eyumasi oimeretz b'chol shana hi hashana hazois, which means Eyulusi le'ezrasi. These words, my God, my power for your salvation. Tarti, I yearn to see, to witness. Eyumasi, my nation, oimeretz says every single year b'chol shana hi hashana hazois. This is the year Mashiach will come. This is the year Mashiach will come. That's a very beautiful expression in the Kinos. It's towards the very beginning of the Kinos, you say exactly these words. Eyulusi le'ezrasi, karti hazos. I yearn to witness your salvation, and my nation every year hopes that this year will be the year of Mashiach. So this is already the third interpretation. It means power. And here, in other words, who's the subject? The Ribbono Shel Olam is the subject. on number four. Okay, so this is, so we have a Sachar Kol, according, let's look a little more. What's a Shachar? L'shoim Shacharis, this is what Rav Kalman said. Shacharis, the morning. U'menachim Pasar, l'shoim Bikur, this is very important. Bikur means investigation. It means to inspect. Kimo Shoicher Toy Yivakesh Ratzon. How interesting, because the Medrash on Tehillim is called the Shoicher Toy, which means a good investigation. A good investigation, Yivakesh, that seeks out Ratzon. It's a play on the words. Shoicher Toy Yivakesh Ratzon. To seek good and to seek the favor. It means, to again, Shoicher means to seek out, to investigate goodness, and to seek favor. Two expressions which are very similar, a little bit of poetic repetition, and the Medrash on Tehillim is called Shoicher Toiv. You know who wrote it? Rav Michal. Okay, Rav Michal is very into Medrash Shoicher
Toiv. I'm learning it now. Okay. I'm
too probably behind. Shoicher Toiv. To investigate, to investigate good.
Shecher,
shecher, shecher. Shachar is morning, but now over here it says the ayeles ha-shachar, which means the ayeles which seeks out over kumo l'shacher ponecha, to seek out your point. So what does it mean over here in this context? Al ayeles ha-shachar, that is yearning. Who is the Ayeles? I guess you have to go back, and what the Rashi means to say is you have to plug in the word Shachar into all of the interpretations the interpretations. According to the first interpretation, who does this refer to? Well, the first interpretation is not going to work. It's not going to work out very well. A klezemer. A klezemer, I don't know how you're going to fit that in. According to the second interpretation, who refers to? A Klal Yisrael. The Ayeles, Klal Yisrael in Shir HaShirim, and it is compared to the Ayeles Ahavim, the beloved Ayeles. What does the Ayeles want? They're yearning. They're seeking out something. They're seeking out a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're seeking out blessing. It's the word shach. It's according to the first interpretation, the word hashachar means that the Ayeles is beautiful. It's an adjective. It is describing the Ayola. The Ayola is beautiful. It's optimistic. It's full of hope. It looks like the sun is rising. It's a description of the Ayola, whether it's a description of its personality, its frame of mind, its physical appearance. According to the first interpretation, the word Hashachar means the morning, and whatever symbolism you want, up to you. You can define whatever you find nice about the morning. Good. Take that and use that as a metaphor to describe the beauty of the Ayala. It's an adjective. According to Rashi's second interpretation, it's not an adjective. It is a verb. It is action. It's the Ayala that is in this Mizmar is going to express itself. It's going to seek out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessing. The Ayala, the Ayeles, which is, according to Rashi's second interpretation, is Klal Yisrael, Hashacha, that is in a state of yearning, bakosha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to Rashi's third interpretation, it's Esther. Esther is the Ayala who is being mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu salvation for Klal Yisrael. And according to Rashi's fourth interpretation, it refers to Hashem. It's the Ayeles Hashachar. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And either it means that we, Klal Yisrael, are seeking from Hashem, it's self-understood, or it means, maybe it means the other way around, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he demands from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mevakesh from Klal Yisrael. Do something for yourself. What was Purim all about? Leich kinois es kol ha-yehudim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are many midrashim that said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he only brought this whole gezeira upon Klal Yisrael because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to pray. Hashem didn't really intend to do any harm to us. There are many midrashim that mention this idea. Hashem had no intent to bring upon Klal Yisrael any harm, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about this gezeira of Lahashem Laharigul Abed in order to wake us up that we should Shadavim to Hashem. So the Ayeles, according to Rashi's interpretation, means the Ribbono Shel Olam, is lashon of strength, the power. Who is Hashachar is Toiveya. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Toiveya from Klal Yisrael. Daven to me. Wake up. Break out of your complacency and do something for yourself. That's if you learn the word Shachar means the Bakasha. Okay, now, okay, let's do the next pasuk. Lomo, notice it's milra. It's not lomo, it's lomo azavtani. Why is that so? I guess that's the proper way, right? You have to know the rules of grammar. I forgot all these things are in the rules. Lomo azavtani. Why have you abandoned me? Asidihi leleches bagoyle. So, we're going back now to what Rav Kalman said, or someone here said, is that
L'shema.
For what reason?
You have probably a reason why you left me. Lama.
There's a reason. What's the reason? You want to know the answer.
It's not the
No. See, that's Madua. That's Madua. There are two words. Why do we say by the Haggadah? Ma nishtano halayla hazeh. Why don't we say Madua nishtano halayla hazeh? So the Mufarshim answer. The word Madua means you want an answer. Ma, you don't want an answer. Ma, in fact, some learn their pshat. And when you say ma nishtana, it's not a question. Ma nishtana, we ask the four questions. Who says questions? It's like saying there are 10 commandments. There are not 10 commandments.
How different is this night?
There's the levels in 10 commandments. In the Aseres Hadib, there are 10 dibros. In each dibor, there are multiple commandments. How many commandments are there in the 10 commandments? Well, let's go swatch the movie. How many commandments are there? There's a lot more than 10. So why do we call it? So whoever said it's 10 commandments, that's incorrect. That's incorrect. There are 10.
It summarizes the.
There are 10 dibros. There are 10 expressions, utterances. 10 utterances, and in those 10 utterances, there are 10. There are multiple commandments in those 10 utterances. So here too, there are 10 questions. No, there's not. If there were 10, there are 4 questions. No, there's not. If there were 4 questions, then it would say, Madua nishtano halayla hazeh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's a statement. Exactly. So here when it says, Lama, Esther is not looking for a reason why Hashem has abandoned her. Esther can probably provide 100 reasons why Hashem would abandon her because of all the problems.
Why did you do that now?
But he's not asking for reasons.
Lama ve-lama.
I know, and they worship the ego. The reason why Hashem wants to destroy the people, I know the answer. I know the reason why. Because they worship, what else? They worship the ego. It's an expression of, come on, like our president. Come on. Come on, man. It's an expression of frustration. Or it's an expression of, wow. By the manishtanohala, wow. Amazing. Ma means it's amazing. Look how different this night is. Manishtan. It's not a question. It's not if it was a question, it would be madua. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lomo Hariosa. But what? Well, come on. Really? You really going to do this? I know we have all the reason in the world to do this. But that's not, but still, this is your chosen people. Look, so here also, Esther is not looking for reasons. There are many reasons why Hashem can get angry at us. There's no limit of reasons. Esther is an expression of tzar. Lomo Azavtani. Now, you have to learn the Alderch Pshat. We're heavily steeped in Medrash. We're heavily steeped in Zohar. I always like to tell you that you know, we even begin to imagine, even though everyone, no, I'm a Litvak, I don't know from these things. I'm not into Kabbalah, no. We don't even begin to realize how heavily influenced, even the coldest Litvak is heavily steeped in Kabbalah. Part of the Messiah. That's how it is. So even though we're heavily steeped in looking, this is reference to Esther. Excuse me, David wrote this 500 years before Esther existed. So what are you talking about, Esther HaMalka? You're right, it's Ruach HaKodesh, but you have to also find a pshat in the pasuk, al derech pshat, on a very simple understanding. David, in his day and age, 500 years ago, was experiencing problems, and you have to also be able to translate the words based upon that era. And here it says, Lamaz, and Rashi says, Asidihi leleches bagoyla. The Jewish people, David is acknowledging this also prophecy, they're going to go into exile. The Omar David tefila zo al ha'asid, and he recited this in reference to the future. Okay, let's do the next one. I'm going to finish the apostle in Rashi. Rochok Mishu Asi, Rochok Mishu Asi, and here there's a very good article. I like what they do here. They put the Rashi font. Rashi, by the way, did not invent this font. Okay? So over here, our school, this is very nice for the art school, but over here, to really bring up the point, Rochok Mishu Asi, that's what it says in the Pasuk, and then they have two letters that are in Rashi font. U Mi Divrei Sha'agosi. The Vav and the Mem, that's not what it says in the Pasuk, that's Rashi's commentary. We see, Rashi is a very unique Rashi. Rashi has commentary when he quotes Midrashim, he quotes the Targum. Sometimes Rashi's commentary is by adding a letter. And adding a letter or two into the word. That's the commentary. He doesn't have to give you a whole pilpul. He's telling you that these psukim are poetic, and don't attempt to translate this like you read an art school book or you read the New York Times, Lahavdil. Don't try to translate this, it's just linear. The words have to be read with depth. Umi divrei shagasi. Rashi learns that it's my salvation is rochik. It's distant. Because you have abandoned me, there's no hope for me. It's rochik mishu asi, u midivrei shagasi, and from the words of my roar. Now let's take a look at the six days that came, a little more beor.
So Rashi had Yeshua T, Shavati.
What do we have?
It's the same letter, same. Not Yeshua.
It's the Vav. Oh, so why is the men? Where's the question? This is exactly where we have it. Rochok Mishua is exactly, but Rashi is adding in two letters. Umi Divrei Shagasi. Rochok is to be repeated. The word Roch, according to Rashi, the word Rochok is to be repeated twice. Rochok Mishuasi, the Rochok Divrei, when Rashi is in the Vav and the Mem, he means Rochok from the Divrei Yeshuasi. My words of salvation are far from being heard. Let's look at the Sifrei Zakenim. Rochok Mishuasi, Perish Rashi Zal, Rochok Mishuasi, U Midivrei Shagasi, Atkan Lashonai, the Kashal Rashi, the Ikip Shutai, I mean the Sifrei Zakenim on the right side. The kashal rashi ikip shuta. If you're going to learn a trend, you can translate literally shorochayk mishuasi divrei shagasi. That the word divrei shagasi is an explanation. The subject of the words divrei shagasi are the words rochayk mishuasi. Kein hayu laloymar rochayka yeshuasi mi divrei. There should be a man. Me divrei shagasi, from the words of my cry.
The men should be to divrei rather than from Yeshua.
Right. Right. Very good. Right. Rochok Yeshuasi, me divrei shagasi, which would mean is that my request. You have to translate it backwards. My words of my cry, my roar, my words of my request are rochok, are far away from achieving salvation. Read it backwards.
Right,
that
right.
My divrei shagasi is rochik, is far, meaning that it's weak. It's not going to make an impact to bring about salvation. According to that interpretation, the words divrei shagasi are connected to the Yeshua, it's all one expression. Here I am, I'm crying to you, and I see that the words of my cry are not going anywhere, and it's not going to result in there being a salvation. Rashi says, if that's what the pasuk really meant to say, then there should be a mem before the word divrei, and delete the mem. The mem is in the wrong place. Put the mem before the word divrei and take the mem away from Yeshuasi. Then it would mean that the words of my cry are not achieving the result of bringing about salvation. The fact that it does not put the mem in the second word, but instead puts the mem before Yeshuasi, indicates that they're completely two separate statements. Number one, we're in a lot of trouble. Rochoik Mishuasi. Hashem is not helping us. Number two, there's no one to talk to. Okay, this is very profound here. You don't even have someone to talk to. Sometimes when you're frustrated, you want to talk to someone. Person has a problem. Okay? What's the solution? There's no solution. You got a problem. Okay. Let me at least call the police. Let me at least get on the phone and complain. Call 911. Call 311. Pick up the phone. There's no dial tone. They shut down the service. They shut down the service. There's no one to talk to. It's two separate issues. Number one, we're in a lot of trouble. Rochoik Mishuasi. We are in a very bad situation here. There's a gzeru lahashem harigul abe. Number two, okay, we're in a bad situation. No, maybe I should cry to Hashem. I'll be mispalo. As it says, there's no dial tone. There's a red phone in the shul. Pick up the red phone. There's no dial tone. Can you imagine what a terror that is? They have many shuls, they have red phones. What's the red phone for? When the shliach tzibur feels it's not going so well, pick up the red phone. Now what happens to the red phone? Pick up the red phone. There's no dial tone. We're in a lot of trouble now. It's two separate statements. That's what the avul hashasham a rochayk koy al hakadosh baruch hu. The word rochayk is going on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zesh resh rashi, rochayk mishuasi, m'divu shagasi. The way I explain it, the rochayk is going on both. Hashem is far from my salvation. And m'divu shagasi. And there's no one to talk to. The words of my cry are not going anywhere. There's no one to talk to. They're two separate statements. Okay, now we have to finish this, but yeah, you have to at least finish up the Radak very quickly. The Radak summarized almost everything that we just said. I don't know, because we have to do tomorrow something new. Quickly, the Radak. Page 191, very beautiful Radak. It's a very beautiful summary. Radak 191, Lamnatzeach Alelos HaShachar, Yesh Mefarshim, Ki Ayelos HaShachar Kli Niklei HaNigun. Okay, very good. Mitzudas David, Mitzudas Sion. Rashi's first shot. Number two, V'yesh Mefarshim, Ayelos Min Eyolusi Le'ezrasi Chusha, D'Riboyne Shaloyla. Kiloymar, Shoyenemar Zeh HaMizmar B'Koyach, or we change the word bevo aloy sashach. That's a different. That's not necessarily what it said in Rashi, and that's not the way I explained it. I explained that the subject is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making demands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being shachar, which means he's being teveah from Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ayelas. That's not what the Radak says. The Radak says that this is an instruction as when this mizmor should be said. It should be said in the morning, and this is explosive. This is an incredible, incredible, explosive insight into Tehillim. Is that, you know, we study Tehillim all along, and we have every day there's a mizmor. Hayoyim le'nishem shabbos shabo hayoyim mevesa megdash. And we know that on every single holiday they would say the shir shel yoyim for Rosh Hashanah was this, the shir shel yoyim for Yom Kippur was this, the shir shel yoyim for Purim is this, the shir shel yoyim for Shavuos is this. This is the Mesorah. What the Shir Shel Yom is. What about this Tamid Shel Bein HaArboyim? What's the discussion? What is the Shir that we said Mincha? Okay, that's a whole different discussion. What did they sing when they offered the Tamid Shel Bein HaArboyim? When even those who say Korbanos by Mincha do not say Shira. Tell them. Why not? Okay, there's a topic of discussion why that's not so. Maybe what it means. That's one opinion. There are many opinions. What they said exactly. Or some say, you know why we don't? Because we lost the Mesorah. We don't know what they said by Mincha. We don't know what they said. But there's a Mesorah that every single Karban has a unique Shira. Every day. This Radak is telling you a bigger Chiddush. A bigger Chiddush. What time? This Mizmar, you're only going to get out of it the full maximum benefit if you say it at a certain time. If you say this mizmar at 10 o'clock, it's not going to do its thing. It's not going to trigger the emotion. It's not going to trigger the reaction in Shemayim. A mizmar not only does it have its potency on a specific day, a mizmar has potency at a specific time of the day. Unbelievable what the Radak says. I'm not making this up. The Radak only says Kolaymar Shohayinema Zeh Mizmar Bivor. Read it when in the Nusach Acher Alois Hashachar.
That's the Targum.
Unbelievable. Right. Unbelievable what he says over here. And you Lucy, it's the mizmar should be said when the Alois Hashachar. Alois Hashachar. Okay, the Yeshu, now how does that refer to the word Hashachar? And what is a Yeles? A Yeles appears to mean Alois. Now this is a little bit of a stretch. Okay, this is a new shot now. This is a shot number five. Alois. And what's the proof to this? We're running out of time. What's the proof to this? The proof to this is the Makaf. You see here in this Al, and then there's a horizontal line, Al Ayeles. What? What's that? Al is just the word Al, and the words that go together should be Ayeles Hashachar go together. No, you're missing the point. Al Ayeles is one word. It's like one word. It's Alois. Because Ayeles doesn't mean up. Al means to ascend. The morning is called Alois Hashachar. Another word for Alois is Al Ayeles. Al means the ascent. The ascent is a play on the word. Now, I don't really know what the word Ayeles means, but obviously, according to this interpretation, see, the Targum said very good. Al Tukoif. On the might. Okay, let's say Ayeles means the might, but it's the rising. When you put the word Al and you connect it to the word Ayeles, it means a powerful moment of the day. A powerful moment of the day that is on the rise. Ayeles means power. Let's assume that. Shachar means the morning. So you know what you would say? I would say if you only have Ayeles Hashach, I would say it's Chatzos, midday. Midday is when the sun is shining in its might, in its toikes. Chatzos Hayoyim. Isn't that when the sun is shining in its might? Al says, no, that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to the might of the Hascholas Hayoyim. So Al Ayeles basically means, it means the words together, okay, we have to leave with that. These ideas. Alois Hashach. The Yeish Nefarshim, Ki Ayeles Shem Koicha
Vavoyker. It's like, you know, you're in the tunnel, you're going in the tunnel, darker, all of a sudden it starts getting...
Alois, going up, Al. Alois Hashach. Al Ayeles is an expression, means Alois. The ascent. It means a powerful ascent. A powerful ascent of the day. The next interpretation is means the star, morning star. Another interpretation. This refers to Esther Hamalka. Another interpretation. Or Yisrael shall you begolus voice as man. Another means Ayel Shach means Klali Yisrael. David. Another. David here is called the Ayeles Hashachar. Beodenu Boirech Mimnei Yeshol. The Hanochoin. The Radak says, now I'll tell you the truth. All these guys here, we don't know what they're talking about. Let me still score here. The Hanochoin. Very bold. You notice the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim are very, very bold. They have, don't take nonsense. V'Hanochoin Ki Ayeles Hashachar Nemer Al Kines. We said that before. We said it before, Al Knesset Yisrael Shehem Bezeh HaGolus. We're not referring to Esther's Golus. We're referring to today. We're referring to 2022 Levisparon. We're referring to this generation. Bezeh HaGolus, V'soif HaMizma Yochiyat Zeh. When we get to the end of the Mizma, we'll see clearly we're referring to Golus Egoim. Ukorosam Ayeles, K'moy Shehim Shul Oysam B'Shir HaShirim. It's called the beloved. Klal Yisrael is the beloved hind. Bitzvois like in Shir Hashem, the Tzvi, Katzvi v'cho ayol, b'tzvaos, the deer, o b'ayilois hasodeh. V'yashachar, perusha yoifi v'zoher, a beautiful shine. Shoyol ham yoifi v'zoher, k'moshu amar aleihem, hanishkofo k'moshachar. They look forward like the, with beauty, like they look with beauty. V'yato am now, heim b'chashecha, they're in darkness, v'golus, hazeh, they're forgotten, and she calls out, we call out from exile, the collective noun, even Kaylee, my God, the collective noun of Klal Yisrael, targum very quickly, Pasuk Aleph, Lishabacha al Tikoif, Kurban Tidira, Dik Ritzka.
Okay.
The morning that the Tomid Shel Shachar Tush Bachta L'David. So he's saying an entirely new interpretation. He says it is it is a praise on the power of the Karbon Tomid of the morning. Whole Lupshad. No one said that here. No one here said this. We've gone to at least seven interpretations of what it means to Ayelos HaShachar. Yes, we have eight. It refers to Rav Stein and Zefa Tzadik Uvracha. By the way, why was Rav Stein, why was this a very powerful Musa Hasta? Why did Rav Stein name his Sefer Ayelos HaShachar? What was Rav Stein, they wouldn't know Rav Stein's name, Rav Baruch. Do you know Rav Stein's name? Is Baruch Horowitz, you know, I forgot his name. He had three names. Aaron Yehuda Leib. Aaron of Stein. Zecher Tzadik Livracha, named his Sefer. Listen to this, hear me out. Hope there are some women listening over here. Ayelos, he named his Sefer Ayelos HaShachar. His name is Aaron Yehuda Lay. What's the tough? His wife, what was the name of Avshalom's wife? Tamar. Aaron Yehuda Lay and Tamar. Ayelos. He named all of his Svarim, every Sefer, he wrote a lot of Svarim, every Svarim he wrote, all of his Svarim have his wife's name in the Sefer. Ayelos. Aaron, Yehuda, Leib, and Tamar. That's why he called it Ayelos, that's why he called it Ayelos HaShachar. And when he was ill, B'Sof Yomav, and Rav Chaim Kinievsky, Zech Tzad Levracha, heard that his brother-in-law was not well, which mizmor did he say? Lamatzeach al Ayelos HaShachar. That's what he reached to say. Isn't it amazing? These two things together tell the thing. He called the Sefer Al Shem his wife, himself, his wife, Aaron Yudalev Tamar. And when Chaim heard he wasn't well, the appropriate mizmor to recite is Lamatzeach al Ayelos HaShachar. Okay? If you wouldn't know this, you would think you're talking about modern orthodoxy. If you want to know, you would say this is Spitz. You would say this is a Spitz modern orthodoxy. You put the name of your wife on the name of your Sefer. Okay, there's a misunderstanding, this misinformation or disinformation, well, both about the modern, about the Haredi world. They're talking about the real deal. Not talking about people who are misled. Who mi godolanu? Then Rav Steinman, I read the book of Steinman. He's not a human being. There are certain books you read, like he was mamish, not a human being. Mamish, unbelievable. Rav Steinman, unbelievable. He wrote a Sefer. Who helped me write the Sefer? Who helped me? My wife. My wife's name has to be in the title.
Where did that Shachar come from? Just from
this mizmor. It's an expression. No, that is right. Disconnected.
Maybe the tough also.
So, how many people do you know who do that? They would say you put your wife's name in the name of the Sefer. How many people the Godol Hador did it. Number two, when Rav Steinman, when he wasn't well, he didn't say Matzil David. He didn't say Shemalis Umakim. He didn't say Shemalis. All the he said. Lamatzeach al Ayelos HaShachar.
Rabbi Akiva said everything is him and his wife.
Many people can't swallow this. Okay, you know, I don't even see nothing. This, you're not from this world. I dabble in this world with some of these type of people, and many people cannot swallow what I just told you. But it's 100% true.
Is it in the book?
Yes.
Openly?
Openly. It's 100% true. Everything I just told you. And it's really a very great insight into people that are really great.
Wasn't banned the book? Burned?
No, it's really amazing.
Which book?
What? Well, the book about Aiellus is in the biography, the autobiography of Rav Steinman. Aiellus, and the book about Rav Chaim, when he said Aiellus HaShachar, the art school they put out, someone wanted to tell me, one of you that learned with him, they put out many, many volumes, very recently, from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zech Tzadim Lebracha, in English. And they have over in the shul, they have over here, the Antihilim, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Antihilim. And on this Mizmar, it says, L'Natzech Al Aiellus HaShachar, he says, Rav Chaim Kanievsky found out that he was sick, this is what he said. So, okay, I guess we'll do something behind. It's very late. I apologize, but we have some really, these are very important things to talk about. Take a very short break, and then we're going to talk about the Avelus of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim in Sriyas Omer. We'll discuss whatever time we have. We'll talk about some important halachas.
I hope you don't mind.
Sure.
Very good. You spoke about this one.